Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this, another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. Thank you that revelation knowledge will flow freely, unhindered and uninterrupted by any satanic force whatsoever. Less of me, Father, and more of you. None of me, Holy Spirit, and all of you. All of you, Holy Spirit, I believe by faith that you will think through my mind and speak through my lips. And when it's all said and done, we'll give you and only you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Thank you for hastening your word to perform it. Thank you for confirming your word with signs following. Thank you that you said your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you please. It will prosper where it has been sent. So I say like the psalmist David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you nor doubt you or second guess you. No, Lord, I trust you. I trust you to confirm this word. And I give you praise for being our healer. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, last week we passed out this prayer. As on today, the 1st of August, we are embarking upon what I'm calling Not One Feeble Person Among Them.
Hallelujah.
Healing campaign. Not one feeble person among them. Everyone say this, not one, feeble person, among us. Let's say it again, not one, feeble person,
among us.
One more time, not one,
feeble person,
among us. Come on, open your Bibles with me to Psalms 105. This is where we get this verse or this phrase from this verse found in Psalms 105, verse 37. It's when God brought the Hebrew people and delivered them out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And he said this in the 37th verse of Psalms 105. He said, he brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not one feeble person among them. Well, God is no respecter of persons. Would you all agree?
Amen.
And since he's no respecter of persons, if he did it for one, if we ever see in the Bible where God did it for one, he will do it for another because he's no respecter of person. And so we have to understand that God is in the business of healing. He's in the business of delivering. He's in the business of restoring. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want you to see something from verse 37. And now from the King James Bible, which is what I just read, it says the B part, there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Yes, it was talking about any physical malady or physical infirmity or physical weakness. There was not one. In almost around 3 million people, not one. Well, that happened in the Old Testament. Now, keep a marker right there. Keep a marker right there. That happened in the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews chapter 8. Everyone say that worked, in the Old Testament. And since it worked in the Old Testament, it has to work in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 8. Watch this now. Look at this. Look at verse number 6. It says, but now hath he, talking about Jesus, obtained. What does the word obtained mean to you? Come on, obtained. I can't hear you.
To get,
receive, obtained, to take possession of, Right? To have. So if he obtained it, it means it's already in effect. Would you agree? Look at this. But now, everyone shout now.
Now.
But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he, talking about Jesus, is the mediator of a, say it,
better
covenant, which was established upon better promises. So we're in the new covenant. And he obtained a more excellent ministry. Now, wait a minute. Ministry, what are you talking about, ministry? Well, ministries, to minister means to serve. So ministry is a service. Jesus is serving you and I with this better covenant and the benefits from this better covenant, which is established upon with better promises. So go back to Psalms 105:37. In the Old Testament, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. If he did it then, he wants to do it now. If he did it then, and we have a better covenant established upon with better promises, then you and I should have better than what they had. Now, let's define the word feeble before we even move on. Feeble. I haven't even given you my title yet, but I'm going to give it to you. Feeble. The word feeble is defined as lacking physical strength. Lacking physical strength, especially as a result of age or illness. Lacking physical strength, especially as a result of age or illness. It also means to be deficient in qualities or resources that indicate vigor, authority, force, or efficiency. Feeble. It's being weak and without energy, without strength, without power. And it's also being, watch this, not effective or good, feeble, lacking physical strength, especially as a result of age. So the older we get, the more seasoned we become, we should not be given in to feebleness.
Amen.
And right now, some of you all, as you have aged some, you have started to accept measures of feebleness in your body and in your life. There are some pains you've experienced now you didn't experience 5-10 years ago. But now you've adopted it as your way of life. That's not your way of life. You have to resist that. Remember what I've always taught you. Whatever you accept, you can't take authority over. So if you accept it, how can you pray against it?
Okay.
You accepted it. I remember one time, I can't remember the exact case, but there are some who, when I used to hold healing lines, and people would come up and I'd pray for them to be healed. And then one time it came in my spirit, it's no use in praying for them. I don't know if it was a woman or a brother, but it's no use in praying for them. And I'm talking to the Lord before I pray for the person. Why? They've already accepted it. I said, well, no, they just don't know no better. Regardless of what they don't know, watch this. Hosea 4:6. My people perish because of
lack of knowledge.
They still perish, and they're his people. It's because they reject knowledge. If you keep reading verse 6 of Hosea 4, it says, because the priests have rejected knowledge. And so if the priests reject it, the people reject it. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. And then Isaiah 5:13 says this, my people are taken captive because of lack of knowledge. So God does not want you to be captive to feebleness. God doesn't want you to be captive to pains, weaknesses, illnesses. diseases. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Because you are the redeemed of the Lord. And if he did it for them in the Old Testament, and we have a better covenant established upon with better promises, then you should be getting better. We should be getting better. You should expect better. We should expect better. That's why I had you write down that you should be expecting, you should want more from the Lord and want more from yourself. Say amen.
Amen.
So feeble, to lack physical strength, especially as a result of age or illness. Now that's physical strength. Feebleness also shows up in financial strength, to where you are weak financially. Yeah, you have a deficiency in resources. Feebleness can show up mentally, emotionally, socially with relationships, spiritually, all because of lack of knowledge. So we're going to begin looking today to overcome this feebleness, this feeble state. We're going to look to overcome any form of feebleness in this healing campaign. And this healing campaign that we're going to begin and be on, yes, we are targeting physical healing. But I don't want you to limit it to that.
Amen.
Let's experience healing in every area of our lives. Say amen.
Amen.
Now, this past Wednesday night, I started my prayer with Pastor Mark. And it's only for 30 minutes from 7 to 7:30. I started it. And what God says start, he says, I want you now to use the names of God to pray results on the people. So this past Wednesday night, the name of God that I used was Jehovah Rapha. And so we started praying healing on the people. But we just didn't get to the place of just praying. God was also giving people a strategy to generate healing. And so I checked with the people who were on with me Wednesday night, 2 days later, and they were getting results because I'm having this prayer time with Pastor Mark to get some, watch this, instant manifestations. I'm making a demand on the level God says he has elevated me to. And so I'm just following this and we're doing it. Now, unfortunately, I have another obligation this Wednesday night, so I won't have it this coming Wednesday. I was trying, but my word is out. And since my word is out, I have to keep my word. And so we won't have it this Wednesday, but we will have it the following. And so every time we use a name of God, we're praying results from that name for 30 minutes, 7 to 7:30. So you'll see the link, whether you can call in, Zoom in, you'll see it on the rebroadcast, except for this Wednesday. Okay, go with me in your Bibles to Exodus 15. Our title today is The Lord is My Healer. Say that. The Lord is my healer. Say it again.
The Lord is my healer.
Not going to be, not was, he is. He is. So, in Exodus 15, verse 26, now, every time I refer to our campaign, this healing campaign that we're on, not one feeble person among them, we're going to always look at Psalms 105, verse 37. And in conjunction with that, with this series that I'm starting, The Lord is My Healer, we're connecting it to Exodus 15, 26. And it says this, in verse 26, I'm reading from the King James Bible. You follow along with whatever translation you have. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight. Can you underline that phrase in your Bible? Will do that which is right in his sight. and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Amplified Classic says of this same verse, it says this, saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do what is right in his sight and will listen to and obey his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, in seeing this verse, I see three things that we need to take note of that is critical and crucial for healing to take place. You ready to write? Number one, you have to hearken to the voice of the Lord and not to any other voice. You have to hearken. What does the word hearken mean? It doesn't just mean listen. It means to listen intently. It means with intentionality. I'm listening to the voice of God. And a lot of times, there are many voices that come to you. And so you have to understand that it's the voice of God that counts. Not opening yourself up to anybody and everybody. If you got to understand, all healing comes from God, period. Amen. All healing comes from God. So I'm going to listen to the voice of God. I'm going to hearken to the voice of God and not to, what did you write? Any other voice. Well, my mama said this. Mama's not the healer. She meant well, and she operated with as much knowledge as she had. But right now, everyone say, right now, God is taking me to another level, and I have to listen to him. See, he's taking me. Mama's not taking me. He's taking me. And how you responded to those directives. And see, what I'm thinking of when I say mama or family members or family tradition, I'm thinking of some of those, some things that you carried traditionally, whether it was what you cooked, what you ate, whether it was remedies that you were given. You have to understand that God wants to take you to another level because he's healer. He is the healer. He is your healer. Say amen. Amen. Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, number one. Number two, you got to do what is right in his sight. You got to do what is right in his sight. You have to do what is right in his sight. What did I say? You have to
do what is right in his sight.
What did I say? You have to
do what is right in his sight.
Everyone listen up here. Is unforgiveness right in his sight? Then unforgiveness will mess with your healing. Is being proudful and stubborn right in his sight? No. Then you better check your pride and you check your stubbornness, because it's going to mess with your healing. When I was putting this together, the Lord dropped this in my heart. He said, Mark, tell my people that they are doing things to themselves that's causing them to suffer, and I'm trying to help my children. See, you're not doing what is right in his sight. Okay? Flip over to the book of James. He's giving me these scriptures because this is not in my notes. So I'm just flowing this morning. The book of James, chapter 3. Now, I'm going to need several translations. So I'm going to read it from the King James Bible. And let me see if I can pull it. I'm going to try to quickly pull up the Amplified Classic. And then if I can get a new living and a message, I think we'll be good. Okay? James chapter 3. Watch this. Am I at the right place? James chapter 3, verse 17. Nope, I got you close. James chapter 4, verse 17. Okay? Watch this. I was wondering why I had 18 verses. James chapter 4, verse 17. Look at it, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, what did y'all just read?
Therefore,
to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, what did y'all just read? What is this verse telling you? Okay, Cindy, tell me.
If I know what is right and I choose not to do what's right and go ahead and do what I know is not right, then I'm doing sin.
To me, that is sin.
Being sinful.
All right? So he says, if you know something that's right and you choose not to do it because it's right, to you and only you, it is sin. No. Come here, Cheryl. Come here real quick. Cheryl and I married. God has taught me something Cheryl hasn't learned yet. Okay? But I know this is right, but I choose not to do it because I tell God, but she's not doing it to me. Why don't you get on her so she can do it? But to him or her, look what the verse says, that knoweth to do good or do right and doeth it not, to who? To him, that person, man or woman, God says, you've sinned. He didn't say Cheryl has sinned because she doesn't know it. I am in sin because I know to do it and I chose not to do it because my own selfishness, pride, and rebellion say, well, why don't you get on her? Get on her. Why don't she do it? You letting her get away with this. He's not letting her get away with anything. You ready for this? Come on, look at me. He's trying to keep you in a position of healing. And you're looking at what you think she's getting away with. So now, watch this. This is the price for your healing. Because you want her or you want the next person to do what you do. Thank you, dear. To him who knoweth to do right and don't do it, to that person it is sin. So that means that when I don't do what's right, it affects my healing. So watch this. When you know, come on, everybody look at me. When you know that you should not be saying certain things out of your mouth and you still say it. Because you feel like you ought to say it. You big, bad, and ugly. You feel like you've grown. All because you done got a little stuff. No, listen to me. When I was growing up in the things of God, God had to remind me of how, you know, some of us were raised in old school. And they would tell us this. So you starting to smell yourself, I see.
Yeah.
Remember they tell you that? What does that mean? What does that mean? You think you've grown. So now God says, okay, you got some things happening for you now. You think you big and bad now. You got a little more comfort. And so now you're going to say things because you feel like you can get away with saying it. My brother, my sister, y'all listen to me on Zoom land. Y'all listen to me here. That's the price for your healing. Oh yeah, you're gonna come up and you're gonna try to work principles, but you can't work principles from a sinful place. Because to him who knoweth to do right and don't do it, to him it is
sin.
I'll never forget, God would tell me sometime, he says, I want you to go apologize to Cheryl. I said, no, Cheryl need to come apologize to me. Because you know I'm right in this. I said, Lord, you know I'm right in this. And then I would lay it out. I said, this happened and this happened. Now you tell me where I went wrong. Mark, I want you to go apologize to Cheryl.
Wow.
Watch this.
Uh-huh.
I want to use you to reconcile Cheryl so I can get her to a place that I can touch her. Will you let me do it? How often have you kept yourself from fixing a relationship all because you felt like you were right?
Jesus.
That's the price for your healing. To him who knoweth to do right and don't do it, to him it is sin. Man, he's pulling a lot of stuff out of me. You know, down the future, I got two messages I'm going to preach. One of them is learning to value the covering of your church. Your church covering. The second one is learning to value your salvation. Learning to value your salvation. So, to him that knoweth to do right and don't do it, to him, it is sin. It is sin. Oh, Jesus, man. He go with me. Romans 12. Lord have mercy. I didn't come to mess with y'all this morning. I really didn't. I really didn't, but yes. Quit playing, Pastor Cheryl. Yes. We wanted that from different translation. I've got the Amplified Classic of James 4:17. It says, so any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. So that means you can't bring up another person. You can't bring up, look at how they treat me. No. Too much is given. You know, God held me more responsible than he did Cheryl, and I would say, no, this ain't right. And this ain't right.
We all said that.
And so, watch this. I'm talking about people who want to be healed. Mm-hmm. Watch this. Here's what I would say. Well, what about me? Why do I got to be the one? Come on, listen. Why do I have to be the one to be the rug that stepped on? You know what God would say? When did I call you a rug? So why are you calling yourself a rug? Well, because I'm letting them get away with stuff. When did I say that they were getting away with anything? Then he get me with this one. This is me and the Lord. I'm just letting y'all in on it. He says, how about those times you thought you were getting away? See, when we want to point out somebody else's flaws, faults, and failures, we get real judgmental. And then when ours is pointed out, we want people to have mercy. I didn't mean it like that. Please understand. Listen, you're messing with your healing. Okay, look at this scripture. 1 John chapter 3. Oh, no. We got another translation. Quit playing, Pastor Cheryl. Come on.
Remember, it is sin.
No, Pastor Cheryl, you got to come up here. This is from the New Living Translation. Come on.
Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it.
So who determines if you're not going to do it?
I do.
Me. Watch this. Who determines if I'm going to be healed?
I do.
Not God. Me. Me. Okay, what do you have? Oh, I already read the Amplified. Yeah. We got one more? I'm good? Okay. First John. I'm just about done. Huh? Did I say Romans 12?
That's what you said.
Well, I'm in 1 John. I don't know what y'all going to do. 1 John. Nice. Pastor Cheryl, I'm in 1 John. They can go to Romans they want to, but I'm in 1 John. I'm in 1 John. Y'all done took over my message. Okay. 1 John chapter 3. Watch this. Now, we're pulling out some principles from Exodus 15:26. Because if we're going to be at the place where there's not one feeble person among us, you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to deal with yourself. See, you're thinking that it's easy and, oh, if I'm in pain, discomfort, something's wrong with me or something's wrong with my kid or something's wrong with my spouse or something is wrong with a family member. I'm just going to pray to God. And now you're finding out why some things are not happening, why some prayers are not being answered, why some manifestations are not taking place. You have to get yourself in agreement and in alignment with the word of God. Okay? 1 John chapter 3 says this, verse number 20, "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Now, he says that your own heart can condemn you. This is what James chapter 4 was pointing out to us, that anyone who knows to do right and don't do it, to that person is sin. Your own heart is going to condemn you. There are a lot of people who I've personally felt like God should just kill and send them to hell. I'm just being straight, which I didn't know. I was trying to think of an easy way to say it, but I didn't. Just get them, God. Just send them to hell. And y'all still, yes. I'm still developing in my salvation. Oh, yes. And God said, you know, remember the disciples did that too. There's one city that didn't receive Jesus. The disciples went to Jesus and said, "Let's pray fire down on them. Burn them all up." Burn them all. They didn't put it in the Bible, but I'm sure they say burn them up and send them to hell. And you know what Jesus said? "You don't know what spirit you are of." So there are some people trying to call themselves Christians living for God, holding on to a demonic spirit. Ooh. You don't know what spirit. So here I am telling God to kill him and send him to hell. He said, "Mark, won't you let me use you to restore them?" I said, "No, God, that's not good." That's not good, God. I said, because he did. So then you get like Jonah. You know, everyone. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Anybody know why? He knew God was going to forgive him. He didn't want God to forgive him. He wanted God to kill him. Send him all to hell. And that's why Jonah got on the boat heading the other direction. And then he told everybody on the ship that the storm, the reason the storm was there was because of him. They tossed him over, the storm stopped, and a big fish swallowed him. He was in the big fish for 3 days. You want to know why? Because he didn't change his mind on obeying God. So listen, your big fish could be the sickness you've been putting up with. That pain that's been aggravating you. How much medication are you going to have to take? Why hasn't it been resolved yet? Because like Jonah, you got to learn to repent while you're on the inside of the fish.
Wow.
You got to learn let some things go. I say this to you by the Holy Ghost. There are some of you in here, you're still holding things against some family members that have said some things wrong and done some things wrong, and you said you let it go, but you didn't. You didn't let it go. You didn't let it go. Watch this. Until you can go and present yourself to them in a humble manner and say, forgive me. Because my relationship with you is more important than how I feel I'm right.
Glory to God. Mm.
What can I do to repair our relationship? You are a, listen, minister of reconciliation. You're supposed to be in the business of reconciling. You're not supposed to be in the business of revenge. I'm going to teach them this time. I'm going to teach them this time. You're going to teach who what? There's your healing. There's your healing. And guess what? What if when we all lining up there on judgment day, that family member looks at you and here you are, you don't go to heaven, and they looking at you, they going to hell. Why you didn't forgive me? Why you couldn't tell me how to do things better? You're not going to be in heaven and say, because you didn't listen. You're not going to do that. You should have listened to me. It's not about you. Help me get to the cross point to somebody and say, it's not about you.
It's not about you.
See, your own heart can condemn you. I got to get out of here. Look at verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Condemnation in your own heart is affecting your confidence toward God about healing. It'll affect your healing, dear hearts. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And look at verse 23. Everybody, look at verse 23. I'm at 1 John 3, verse 23. You with me?
Yes, sir.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Everyone look up here. How many of y'all believe on the name of Jesus? We all do. Let's look at the next part. And love one another as he gave us commandment. He commanded you to love one another. It's not an option. And love covers a multitude of faults. Love doesn't expose it. Love doesn't hold it against them. Love doesn't say, I'm going to teach you something. Love doesn't do that. You know, and I'm one. I'm quick. I used to be. I can cut you off and treat you like you don't exist. But now, I will do two things. God, show me a way to bless them. And then the second thing is, and then, Lord, give me a seed to sow for them. I want to keep my heart right. See, when I be telling y'all I'm not going to hell or jail for anybody, it's a whole lot behind that statement. All right? I'm ending with this. Romans 12. Those of y'all in 1 John, y'all better go to Romans 12. All right? Romans 12. Okay, I'm going to read Romans 12 from the Amplified Classic after I read the King James, and then we're going to go back to Exodus 15, and we're going to be done. Are you receiving anything today?
Amen.
Okay, watch this. Romans 12. Look at verse 9. And 10. We're going to look at 9, 10, and 16.
Okay.
All right. And then we'll end with 21. This is all Romans 12. Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, what's evil?
Sin.
The sin is evil. Talking wrong is evil. Thinking wrong is evil. Not being one who reconciles a relationship, that's evil in the kingdom eyes.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
I'm still talking about doing that which is good.
Right.
Okay? That's evil. Because, watch this. The devil loves division. God loves unity. So if you divide yourself from someone, are you operating according to what God wants?
No.
No. The devil divides. God unites. Okay? John 3:16. No, listen. For God so
loved.
Now, did the world love him?
No.
Was the world interested in him? No. But it didn't stop him from loving. He was intentional, purposeful, and determined. He did not love with a criteria. He didn't love with stipulations. He didn't love and say, now, if I'm going to do this, you better do this. No. And that's what you're going to have to learn. If you want healing to flow without hindrance, you got to learn how to love without limitations. Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his best because he loved. So you got to look to give your best. Well, they're not giving their best to me. No, that's not it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You done lost half the church. Watch this. In honor, preferring one another. Now, I'm going to read these two verses from the Amplified Classic real quick. Verse 9. Watch this. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. I was sharing with somebody yesterday. I said, you got to be a real Christian. I'm a real Christian. That's why people who come around me and Cheryl, they feel accepted. Because in the presence of God, people feel accepted. It says here, let your love be sincere, a real thing. Stop loving people based on your terms. Stop bringing up your idiosyncrasies. No. Watch this. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family. Do you treat everybody like that? Giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Put this down in your notes. I must learn to give precedence to others. I want y'all to be able to look at that and see what that means. I must learn to give precedence to others. I must learn to give precedence to others. I got to get out of here. Sister Adrian, real quick, looking at that, what would you think that is, giving precedence? Say that again?
I said making first and preferring.
Making who first?
The other person.
The other person? Not how I feel?
Right.
Not what I think?
Yes.
Not how I see it? Making the other person first. Honoring them.
First.
Making them first. Honoring them and making them
first.
You know what that tells me, my brothers and sisters? We got a lot to work on, don't we?
Yes.
Because we call ourselves Christians. But we've been doing our own thing. And now you see why some people don't want to go to church. Because they're tired of the hypocrisy. They're tired of people playing church and saying that they're Christians. And they're looking at their lives and see how they treat people. That's not how it rolls. Okay. Let's look at this last part of the verse, and we're out of here after I read Exodus again. What's the next verse I told you? Verse 16?
Yes.
Be of the same mind one toward another. You don't lost half the church. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. One of the things I had to learn in loving Pastor Cheryl and having a real relationship, a real marriage, God says, stop thinking that you're smarter than her. Because see, if you think you're smarter than a person, you always feel like you're right. And no matter what they say, they're beneath you. He said, look what it says, be not wise in your own conceits. So I had to learn how to appreciate her intelligence. I had to learn how to appreciate what she brought to the table, even if she didn't do it like I would do it. And so you know what I had to do? I had to make her way, be as special as my way. Okay. All right. Y'all didn't like that too much. Okay, come on. And then look at verse 21. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, let's close this out. Exodus 15:26, and then we'll pick it up next week. And he said in verse 26, and said, if thou would diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, so number one is hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight. We got to do that which is right in whose sight? God's sight. Number three, it connects with number one, give ear to his commandments. What do you mean his commandments? His principles. What is God's principles? Give ear to his principles and not your perspective. Give ear to his principles and not your perspective. Four, keep all his statutes. Well, what is statutes? What do you mean statutes? His standard. You got to keep his standard and not look to build your standard. So those are the four things. And we're going to build on this and we're going to have a good time. Let me go over them one more time. Number one, we're going to hearken to the voice of the Lord and not other voices. Okay? Number two, we're going to do that which is right in his sight. The qualifier is it right in his sight? Not in your sight. Number three, give ear to his commandments. What does that mean, give ear to his commandments? Give ear to his principles. What that means is become spiritual, principle-minded, and not just me-minded. Number four, keep all his statutes. In other words, keep his standard. Not build your own standard. So y'all gonna have to look into this. Look up some of these words, simplify it for yourself. Really grasp an understanding. And my brothers and sisters, this will determine if you're serious about not one feeble person being among us. I say this to you again, there's some of you who have allowed yourselves to be affected by certain ills, weaknesses, feebleness, and God says, that's not my will for your life. I am the Lord, your healer, and I am always ready to heal. So he is the Lord, my healer, and he is always ready to heal. Say, he is the Lord, my healer, and he is always ready to heal. Come on, stand on your feet. Glory to God.
Hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.